the country is still reeling a little bit because if you missed the match, Canada, they really, really performed well. And Alphonso Davies had a penalty kick early into the game. They were all over Belgium. It wasn't a good effort. Like, his kick was...
No.
It was not a strong penalty kick by Davies. And Belgium gets a stop. Belgium scores late in the first half. And then Belgium effectively held on for dear life, but doesn't matter. You know, oh, you've been saying this. Like, if we've arrived, Canada, on the men's side, then you can't be happy with a loss. Like, you can't be happy with a loss.
Just don't go with the mentality. Go with the mentality of... lost opportunity because we might have been the better team, and we have to perform on Sunday. I'm just not a fan of we showed we belonged. I just don't know what kind of mentality that is. And I'm not some great five-time Stanley Cup champion, but I can't stand hearing that. I can't stand we showed we belonged. No kidding. Kara mentioned it. You showed you belong when you qualified for the tournament.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, you're there. You already belong.
I don't think the team feels that, though. Like, I think the team, I feel like they're going to come out of this hungrier. They're going to look at how well they played Belgium and how they were so close to breaking through, and they're going to push through with that Sunday against Croatia. And we were talking about before, Croatia's a great team, but they're getting a little older. It's very tough to keep up with Canada's pace, and that is their strongest attribute. And if they can push through with that, I think anything can happen on Sunday.
Yeah, that was on display today. I mean, I think also their two game breakers are Jonathan David and Alphonso Davies, and they had opportunities they couldn't close. Mm-hmm. Like, Davies at the spot, like, that's got to go in. You got to score there, and he didn't manage to do that. He had a couple of other opportunities where he looked like himself, and when he's got pace and he's moving, obviously he's someone that's very difficult to defend, but I think he's got a little bit more, and I think David, we know, is a world-class scorer, so he's got to close on a couple of those opportunities.
That's where I think David could have been a lot better.
Absolutely, but I think, you know, Richie Larea had a great game.
Amazing.
Buchanan, I thought, was really good. I thought their back line was strong. Estacchio, I thought, was really good.
So many opportunities near
in
the
like
end of that
15
match.
15 minutes.
So many balls
Larea
through.
Had chances. Clearly,
the game plan was ball through to him and to try and head it in. And
yep.
It just
no one scored more on the men's side nationally than Kyle Larin. And listen, they played well, but you're right, though. Like, the mentality, and I think Herdman said that. Hey, we've arrived. We're here. We got to go get Croatia. Like, it's that easy. You got to get a result. If you lose outright, you're done. You're playing Morocco. It's effectively a friendly.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get a result. You got to at least get a point, if not go out there and beat them. And if you beat them, then everything starts to turn. Then it's in your hands. You beat Croatia on Sunday, and then you beat Morocco. You're through. So the tournament's not over. Like, Germany lost. Argentina lost. Tournament's not over.
Can you imagine what the post-match conversation from John Herdman is going to be like? Like, he's so... I don't know anyone who's more motivational than him. I absolutely love John Herdman. I think that he's an unbelievable speaker. And to see the way that he's going to pick this squad up, and I would love to be a fly in the wall.
I'll give you
room.
One guy. Get Pinball over there. Get Pinball Clemens over there.
Herdman
Pinball 7-0.
Above Pinball.
No
for motivation.
Way Herdman's yes. ahead of Pinball.
100. Have you... Okay.
No.
John Herdman, have you watched his TED Talk from years ago?
His TED Talk?
He did a TED Talk.
No, I have not.
I wanted to run through a freaking wall after listening to that.
I know, but let me ask you this. If the guy's name was John Herdman, and he walked into the room to try to motivate you, and he had a pro barrel, and his T-shirt was halfway sticking out, and he had a greasy mustache, and he just had a skullet and a mullet, would you think it was motivating?
I mean, maybe it would take a little bit off the top for me, but I think so. I do think...
Dude, no, I look at the guy, I'm like, the guy's a good-looking dude.
Sure,
like,
he is, 100%.
I want to hear what that guy has to say.
Incredibly motivating.
But
I'm not disputing that.
He's such a good speaker, and just the way it's as though he's speaking to your soul.
I don't think
he had a handlebar mustache and a skullet, you wouldn't even pay attention.
No, I see where you're going with this.
The appearance factors into the motivation. I think
for
a little bit. It's like 10%.
Yeah, and the accent helps too. He's British, and you're like,
accents always help. Let's be honest.
Yeah, the accent, especially with soccer, you're like, all right, I kind of know where this guy's going.
Yes.
Like, listen, he's very motivational. He's a very impressive guy. We've had him on the show many times.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to root for. And I believe him that he believes in this team. And I think he should after watching them play. They played really, really well. Like, they weren't lucky to only lose 1-0. Mm-hmm. They were unlucky not to win, I would say, 2-0, 3-1. Really dominated that game. Yes, absolutely. And the metrics would indicate that. The eye test would indicate that. They played great. but it doesn't mean anything now.
Yeah,
and they got jammed up on another handball, didn't they? I think they got jammed up on one.
Yeah, it was. I think Kilbane was expressing that, like they were. There was a couple of different plays that maybe could have led to more penalties.
Yeah.
For Canada, and it obviously did not materialize. But if Davies scores that goal, it's a totally different.
It's a different game.
Feeling. It's a yeah. totally different game. But
if Davies scores that goal and they still lose, how are we talking about that now?
I think it still feels a little bit different because they got a goal.
Because right? the moment happened, they got the first goal at the World Cup.
Right.
It came from Alphonso Davies. Yeah, I think that. I mean,
it's like they've accomplished something.
Yes.
You know, like they've arrived. They played well, but there's nothing tangible to say. You know, it's that different than it has been in the past, where if you literally score a goal, it is very different.
This is the most Canadian post.
Yeah, this is what we bring
ever
to the table.
Like, they lost, but man, they were so good.
That, it all comes down to expectations. You know, in Belgium, again, I'm telling you, I guarantee you they're freaking out in Belgium. Freaking out because they really played poorly, and yet they won. And when you're the second-ranked team in the world, you have higher expectations. Joining us down the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson. MJ, we'll ask you the question right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. Who do you find more inspiring? John Herdman, the head coach of the men's national team over in Qatar, or Pinball Clemens, the GM of the Argos? Who is more inspiring for you?
That is tough.
Right?
That is tough. I mean, I got to say Pinball because I've spoken to him. And, like, it's not just for a big game or at the Olympics. Like, you could be going to the buffet line, and that's how Pinball talks to you.
Right.
I'm like, I'm going to have the greatest buffet in the history of my life. Whereas John, I don't know if he just turns it on and off. I've not really spoken to him many times, but he clearly has a knack for getting the most out of his groups in big moments. Now, it helps when he has great teams like he did with the women and like he's trying to create with the men. But, you know, I like the one part about Herdman and that whole attitude is that there's nothing in him that says we're happy to be here or we're going to try to keep it close. It's like everything is like we're going to go and we're going to go down swinging. Like we're going to take a run at it. They play a high press. They take their chances. They're exposing their own back end because they're not trying to play for a 0-0. Like they're trying to play to win. And I think as an athlete, you want a coach that acts like he believes in you and doesn't create a game plan saying, okay, I'm going to try not to lose. I'm going to create a game plan that says I want to win. And I think for Herdman, that served them well today. Even though, you know, the first half they could have had, and I was kind of holding my breath a few times, so you know, counterattacks by Belgium because it was like 3-on-3 from the back end or 4-on-3s, and that's not supposed to happen in soccer very often, but it did a few times. But yeah, I mean, Herdman's pretty good. And I don't know what the protocol is. I don't know what you guys would do. I probably, if I was playing, I was kind of a silent anthem guy. But I like a guy, loud and proud, belt it out. We're here. And listen to us. And it seemed like there was a ton of fans representing Canada in the building or in the stadium. So, I don't know. It's one of those weird afternoons. If it was a great game, they showed well. They clearly weren't overmatched by any stretch. Which almost makes it worse.
Exactly.
They didn't get anything out of a game, but they should have. They were the better teams. Like, I've never even seen expected goals in soccer before, but 2.8 to 0.7, four times as many, a missed penalty, two other ones. The first one, I'm not so sure. The third one, I thought when he stepped on his foot, that should have been a penalty.
Absolutely.
He stepped on his foot.
Wasn't offside.
And it wasn't offside when they play it back there. So I don't know if, you know, VAR manages soccer games the way NHL refs might manage a game. Like, I can't give a guy a third penalty in a row or a third penalty shot, but I thought at least the last one should have been a penalty. So I say all that and I'm like, I'm kind of mixed. I was nervous and I was watching the game and I was like proud and into it. And I left them like, it feels like a total missed opportunity.
Yes.
More than it feels like validation that we somehow belong.
That's right. Because of who it was against, too. It's Belgium, and you expect them to regroup and then probably dominate and get moving. Yeah. You're like, man, you had them. You know, like, that's a big part of it, too, is Belgium's a really good team, and they probably didn't have their A game, and Canada dominated, yet Belgium walks out with 3 points. Canada-Croatia on Sunday right here on TSN and on CTV.
And that's the game. Now it becomes Canada Croatia is the game.
You got to get a result. Win. You have to.
And you probably have. Yeah. Well, I mean, Croatia will play Belgium at the end, but you got to get a point for sure. And God, like, can we score a goal? You know, like, we had so many chances. We have world class players up front. And I don't know who the regular penalty taker is. So that wasn't a great penalty by Davies. Not just because it was saved, but it was a little cautious, a little inside the post by about 10 feet. Decent. But you know, I know we got Jonathan David who is lighting up the French league. Like there's guys that can score. Anyways, it was exhilarating and frustrating. It was a real sporting fan afternoon for me because I don't usually get too into anything, but I was quite into
it.
I'm
with you, man. I loved it.
To the point where like when they got scored against Hayes and they went to halftime, like I was doing the game tonight in Columbus with Montreal. Like I turned the TV off and like threw the remote against the pillows in the room. Like, God, what's that? You know, like, I was like a full fandom moment, which is unlike me.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I that's the beauty of it. It's the national team. They're at the World Cup. It's amazing. With Mike Johnson. How about the Leafs sliding in a trade during the World Cup game where they just sneak in a Connor Timmins acquisition, who's a right shot defenseman out of Arizona. He was drafted by Colorado, had a great World Junior. This is going back, what, 4 years ago, I guess so? 4 or 5 years ago, and he's a Sault Ste. Marie alumni. Not that that matters. Not that that matters. It's just
but
pointing
it factors
out.
In.
He happened to play for the Sioux. How much do you know of this guy, and what do you make of this move for the Leafs?
Well, I mean, I guess it's a Friday night transaction dump, I guess, during the Canada game, but he's got the good measurables, right? Like, he's big, rangy, skates well, like, some of that stuff. He's had a ton of injuries, pretty serious ones. So it's kind of stunted his development the last few years. And if you can't, the other concern is like, if you're not playing in Arizona, Hayes, how good can you be? Respectfully.
Right?
Like, I mean, like, it's not like it's the 79 Habs there on the back end. So if they think you need time in the minors to get good enough to crack that, the C core tells you that his game is probably not all the way there yet. I guess the relationship to Sault Ste. Marie, I don't know if we can keep going back to it, but every time someone comes out of there, you're wondering, you know, where the relationship is that would have prompted that transaction. But they're in desperate need of defense. So that's obvious. They're taking a flyer on a guy who was a prominent part of the Kemper trade. You know, that was a big piece going back to Arizona when they traded Darcy Kemper to Colorado, where he eventually won the Cup. So he has all those kind of tools. He just hasn't played and shown that he can do it at the NHL level. So that will be on the development team, and that will be on the group to get the most out of him. Feels like potential's there, but he's not hit it yet.
Johnny, I'm calling the Leafs and the Devils streak tonight. What do you think of that statement?
I like it because they have to end it some. They don't win every game the rest of the year. But, the concern I have is what New Jersey has done every single game, unless they have an off game. But when they have an on game, they force the other team, specifically the defense, to make a whole bunch of good decisions and quick reads, because they press you so quickly, not physically, but quickly. And so with this D core out there, like, are we trusting Matt Colwell and Jordy Benn and Gio playing 26 minutes? And that's the challenge. It feels like those guys will make some mistakes. So either goalie's going to have to play great or Jersey's going to have an off night. Because if Jersey plays the way they played, they'll have the run of play, like they did last week against Toronto, where they were the better team. They'll be the better team. Doesn't mean Toronto won't win, but I would not expect Toronto to carry the play in this game.
Yeah, that's kind of been the story of Jersey, right? Like, it hasn't been a fluky 13 games.
No,
like,
they've been playing very well.
They've been playing really well.
Hey, I had to do something on them today. So I looked, and whatever you think of this stat, they played 19 games this year. They've won the expected goal battle, for whatever it's worth, in 18 of the 19 games. So at 5-on-5 in 18 of the 19, they should have scored more goals than the opposition. So, like, they outplay you every single night. And I expect that to happen again tonight.
Okay, so, MJ, if O's wrong and the Leafs don't win tonight, if you're looking at the Devils' upcoming schedule, because I'm with you, they're at this point now, 13 straight wins, it's got to come to an end at some point. It's just the laws of physics, right? After this, they have Buffalo, unlikely to be a loss there. Washington, the Rangers, Preds, Chicago. What game do you look at and think that could be where the streak ends?
Washington.
Okay.
Wag is amazing. Not that Washington's any good, but Washington has had their number for a long time. I think Washington's one of the teams that beat them this year already. For whatever reason, it's been a bad matchup for Jersey. So if I had to guess, like, obviously I didn't think Jersey would win all those games, but they can't win them all, so... I would say Washington, they physical, they kind of grind it up, they get the bodies back and somehow find a way to do it, if it's not Toronto tonight.
Yeah, that seems to make sense. I mean, Washington, though, is in a weird spot. Like, you look at Vanecek and what he's been doing for New Jersey. Samsonov, when he was healthy, was playing pretty well for the Leafs. And Kemper, they gave a big deal to. He's been okay. I don't think he's been great. And they
just okay.
Reimer in Detroit. and they don't look like a playoff team. Like, they look old and weathered and beaten up and injured, and I don't know. I mean, Pitt's taken off. St. Louis has taken off, like two other teams, kind of veteran cup-winning teams of the past.
Tom Wilson and Backstrom for a couple weeks and see if they can get a cook and Hayes. That's all they got left.
Is that the only thing that they can hope for?
And everybody else. Like, they're missing a ton of guys up front. And I think the question coming into this year, guys, was Boston and Washington, right? Kind of similar teams and similar spots in their development and their age and everything else. And you're like, you know, will age catch up with either one of these teams? Boston, obviously not. Washington, it feels like it obviously has. Like, they're slower now. I guess the injuries are a part of getting older as well. They're not nearly what they once were. Obi's playing a ton of minutes and getting a lot of shots, and he's going to score 40-something goals, maybe 50. But, yeah, they're not nearly the same team. They're just older. They're just older, and they're a little slower. So, they will be, those two teams, clearly Washington will be the one that is going to miss this year.
Yeah, it feels likely. I mean, that's the thing about the East. You know, like, we talk about this, it seems like, weekly. Like, if the Devils, we all concede they're going to get in now, it'd be a shock if they didn't. Islanders look like they're going to at least, you know, hang around. Like, something's got to give. Detroit is almost 20 games into their season, and they're winning. Like, they're picking up points. So, I mean, there's potential for some turnover. I feel like Detroit will likely come back to earth in the final 60-plus games, but they've been getting pretty good goaltending. Like, Husso's been good. And they added veteran players, right? Like, Steve Yzerman feels like he's still kind of lurking in the weeds, man. Like, no one is paying attention to the fact that Yzerman's in Detroit. And he's been there for years, and he bottomed out, and he's building back up. Like, at some point, I expect Detroit to be a powerhouse again, simply because I have that much respect for Steve Yzerman.
Well, I mean, his track record in Tampa would suggest that's good. That's warranted. I'm with you. I think it's Florida and Tampa and Toronto get there eventually in the Atlantic. The Metro does seem a bit more wide open. And Carolina is going to be fine. I think Jersey's going to make it. And then it does get quite interesting. The Islanders, the Rangers, the Penguins. One of those teams is not going to make it. I'm not even counting Washington in that mix. So I think you might see turnover more likely in the Metro than in the Atlantic. And I like the Red Wings, but I still not entirely sold on their defense. I just don't know if it holds up as well as when Tampa gets kind of rolling and Florida gets their act together. So, but Stevie Y, and he has money too, Hayes, right? Mm-hmm. He's one of the few guys, the decent team that's got a bit of money to spend. Although, he's got, like, can you imagine this? Well, it'd be like, I guess, Austin Matthews next year. Like, Dylan Larkin, who's, you know, Mr. Detroit, from Detroit, played at University of Michigan, captain of the Red Wings. He doesn't have a contract next year. He's a pending UFA. I think so is Tyler Bertuzzi. And they're playing on their last year. So that is something to watch. I can't imagine they get traded. But we've seen Steve Yzerman. You don't want to play poker with this guy, it seems. Right? Like,
no,
he's
kidding.
Not going to fold in a tough negotiation. And so I'm watching that one to see, like, you know, Barzell's contract. I think Bill Larkin would look at that and say, okay, yeah, that's something like that would make a lot of sense. You know, mm-hmm. 8.5, 9, whatever it is, 9.25. And I don't know if Steve gets all the way there. So that is something to watch, because if that was in a market like Toronto and Matthews in the last year of his contract, it would be a major story on the daily basis.
I didn't realize how sneaky Detroit had been. Like, yeah, they had a 4-game losing streak recently, but they've been picking up some points. Only 3 mm-hmm. points back of the Leafs right now. MJ, Nathan Bastian, before the game tonight against the Leafs, said if there's any team in the league that I'd want to beat, it would probably be these guys. So, yeah, 14 would be nice.
Why?
That was my question. I'm like, why would you put that out there?
Like, who's Nathan Bastian? Not respectfully, I know who he is, but like, what's his deal with Toronto? Is he from,
I don't know.
Exactly. No, he's from Kitchener.
He's from Kitchener,
said,
Ontario.
Right? So,
like, what do you
it's
care?
It's because, guys, they're in Jersey and they've won a bunch of games. And if Mitch Marner takes his dog for a walk, it's front page of hockey headlines. And it's
a little jelly there.
It's a little jelly. Yeah, and it's just
be.
Like, they're sick. It's always been that way since Johnny played for the Leafs. When I played for the Leafs, everyone hates them because of that. It's like they get all the attention, warranted or not. It's all the attention.
I you're right, O, but like, what does Bastian care if the Leafs get attention? You play in
Jersey.
Dude,
I never even heard of that guy, to be honest with you, so it's not that concerning. I understand wasn't he in the Seattle expansion draft or something?
Yeah, he got taken by Seattle, then Jersey claimed him back. He plays in the first unit power play, even though he's a fourth line player, but I don't you know, like, and I, it's fine. And maybe next game he's like, I hate playing Washington. No way I'd rather beat than those guys. I don't know. Yeah, but
maybe that's his good luck charm.
Like, you know, and I played in Montreal, and I played in Arizona. Like, I played all kinds of different places. And then this idea that, like, I'd love to beat Toronto. Why? Because they get attention? Like, who cares? Like, you love to, like, it doesn't, like, it's completely unrelated to your existence. I don't get it. Does it bother you that, at least, I don't know. It's, the whole thing is a little, I get why fans might say it, but for a player, it's amusing to me almost. And, like, if you think about living rent-free in someone's head before a game, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you care about us? Because we don't care a bit about you.
Like, it could be about the promotion you'll get if you keep pushing a record forward against the Leafs, right? Like, it will talked about up here. Where if you win 14 straight in Arizona, they don't even know you're in town. You know, if you do it in Anaheim, no one's covering it. Where I guess there's an element of maybe specifically because they keep pushing forth all these wins that it's going to get more attention and more love. I don't know. I mean, even that though,
themselves a little too much in New Jersey, right?
That though is like a self-esteem issue. Like, why? Like, how about 13 wins? Everyone's paying attention. You know, we're talking about you,
Johnny. Before you go, you just got to answer me this question. You just mentioned the expected goals. You got to just give me like a very like 15-second rundown. Is that like more quality chances than the other? Like, you got to give me something on that. Explain it in 15 seconds.
In 15 seconds, you put the same exact league average goaltender in both nets, and that's the amount of goals that you should score based on chances, volume, quality, percentage of it going in. So if we got the same goalie and it's just a league average goalie, I take X amount of shots and X amount of chance, I would score 2.5 goals. So cumulatively on those shots, you would score 1.5. Chances that I'm going to win that game are very good if you flush out the goaltender. Is essentially it.
Yep. What? That's right. That's right. Well put. I couldn't have put it any better than that.
Thanks for that.
All right, Johnny. Enjoy it tonight. Enjoy Columbus. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
Anytime.
That didn't do anything.
I don't know that O understands it anymore, but that's okay.
There's your breakdown on Friday. Get him to give you full goal expected goals
it's
above average.
At you now.
Absolutely. Mike Johnson joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com. I will admit that I'm in a bad place right now, because if there's two teams that I have been harshest, I've been very harsh on in terms of their irrelevance, it's New Jersey, who have won 13 in a row, and Sacramento, who have won 7 in a row. And like the Kings are third in the West, dude.
They're rolling right now.
They've won 7 in a row. They're the most irrelevant team in sports, and now you have to talk about them because they're winning.
How about this? How about this? And Kara, don't help them. Give me 3 guys on their team.
Sabonis, that was a big part of the trade last year. You got De'Aaron Fox, and then it would be a struggle. It would be a struggle.
Dude, 7 in a row, and you can't name 3 guys.
It would
guys
be a struggle
team.
After that.
Because nobody cares about the Sacramento Kings.
Exactly.
Let's be honest.
Honestly.
Shaq called them the Sacramento Queens.
That's
right.
Yep.
Listen, they have won 7 in a row. Yep. It's my worst nightmare. It's karma coming back to get me. Jersey and Sacramento are relevant.
Nobody cares about what people in New Jersey think.
Yeah.
And all we need now is Ottawa and Buffalo to have a resurgence, and you'll just be toilet.
My head will explode. Yeah. My head will explode.